just want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation tonight. You know, it was, like Pastor said, it was 18 years ago, 17, 18, something like that, that, you know, it hasn't always been this way. I was messed up on drugs and alcohol, and I had no hope for my life. And you know what? There was a Victory Outreach. Back in 2001, I came through the doors of 905 at Trisco, and my life has not been the same since. Can somebody give God a praise here tonight? I thank the Lord Jesus. He saved my soul. He's given me, He's commissioned me, He's given me a calling, and I am so grateful to be part of Victory Outreach. And I'm so grateful for my pastors. I want to thank you, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, for all the years of just instilling within my wife and I and just discipling. And I thank the ministers. I thank each and every one of you guys. We love you guys dearly. You guys are awesome. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to give a shout out for the mighty men of valor right there in the men's home. Come on now. And I want to give a shout out for those mighty women of dignity in the women's home right there. Amen. You can all be seated tonight. We're going to go ahead and pray. We're going to get going. Amen. Are you all right with that? Precious Lord, we come before you tonight in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, Lord, and how you take us and you clean us up and you lead us through life, Lord, even through the valley moments when it's dark, and you take us through times of mountaintime success, and you take us back through the valleys. And nonetheless, Lord, you are with us, and we know, God, we have hope for the future. And God, we pray for this powerful ministry, Victory Outreach International, for our founders, for the elders, for the multi-regionals, for the regionals, for everyone that is involved, that you've allowed to be involved in this movement, God. We pray for them and their wives and their families and children throughout this world. God, we pray for every man and woman and young person here tonight that you would bless them, O Lord. Father, many have come in broken. Many of them, Lord God, you know exactly what they're dealing with and what they're feeling. You know their next step, O Father. But God, you are a God who steps in right in the nick of time, and you deliver your people when necessary. Moments of time when we don't expect it. Father, I pray, O God of heaven, that you would bless your word tonight, the reading of your word. Bless me, my God. Use me, Lord, as your servant to preach your message, O God. May lives be changed in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen and amen. God bless you all. It's good to be here. Tonight, I want to speak in the area of positioning ourselves for God's commission. Amen. Positioning ourselves, making ourselves available for the calling of God and for God commissioning us, sending us out and doing what it is that He's called us to do here within Victory Outreach, within the body of Christ. I want to speak in the area of elevating our commitment level through our availability to the Lord. You know, when you find yourself available to the Lord and you begin to get on fire for God and do things for the Lord, you understand something, that He begins to raise you up and He begins to help you understand authority and coming under leadership, and He begins to position you in places where you never thought you would, only because of a man and a woman that begin to step out and make themselves available unto the Lord. Are you with me here? You make yourselves available, and there's no limitations to God. I want to speak on the subject of basically being committed through our availability, so that God is able to commission us and use our lives where He wants to use us. Does that make a little bit of sense here tonight? You know, when you think about the word availability, availability means handiness. It means the quality of being at hand when needed. God is looking to use people who are willing to make themselves available for His commission. You know, when you think about the word commission, commission is an instruction. It's a command or a duty given to a person or a group of people. It's a task, if you will. Employment, job, project, mission, assignment. It's a group of people officially charged with a particular function. We think about the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, where he talks about there's, you know, there's many members, but we have different functions. Victory Outreach has a, in particular, function. We have a vision. We've been called to a, he's given us a mandate to call and to reach out to us, the treasures out of darkness, reaching into the hurting places of this world and snagging and snatching out treasures of darkness. Amen? You and I have been called to a specific task and a mission within this body of Christ and within this ministry and other ministries throughout the world. We all are something, we're all we're genuine. We are who we are that God created us to be. We're unique in our own ways. That's what's so beautiful about God. We're all different from each other. We don't have to worry about trying to ride someone else's coattails. We could just kick back and try to be ourselves a little bit and find out who we are in God. Does that make a little bit of sense? You and I have been called to a specific task and mission. God has called, there's many giftings that God has given to the body of Christ, to the people. And so God has called Victory Outreach to go to places where a lot of people don't want to go to. He reached me in a place where I remember back in 2001, I'm not as, you know, I'm a little heavier now, but back then I probably almost could have slid under the door. I don't know if anybody remembers me then. But it was there where God began to deal with my life. It took months before I began to really understand, and even 3 months into this, wondering if I'm even going to make it in this home, if I'm going to stick around for a while. And then God shows up right in the nick of time. He delivers you, he sets you free, and the process begins. He begins to give you a calling on your life. He begins to, you know, it's baby steps, right? It takes time. You don't know the big picture. We understand if we were to see the big picture, we'd probably lose our minds and start running from God, wouldn't we? But it was there where God started this process in my life. I've learned to trust the process. It was where God delivered me in that special place, the Victory Homes. It is not a halfway house. It is not a shelter. It is a Holy Ghost hospital. It is a home. It is a home environment where men and women are getting their lives together with God. God is building up soldiers in these homes, arrows to be put in the quiver of our pastor so he could utilize them and send them where God sees necessary. Very special are the homes. Very special is every department head leader in this church. Everybody that is doing something for God, first and foremost, raising your family. Being strong and courageous and leading a family with the love of God that he's given us. Given us that spirit, the Holy Ghost, that enables us to overcome sin, overcome ourselves, overcome this world, to overcome the devil. He has given us something that we've always been looking for, and it is his love. It is his love that covers a multitude of sin. It was his love that set me free in that Victory Home back in 2001. It was his love that has sustained me and my wife and my family thus this far. It is his love. And I'm here to tell you as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, it is God's love that is here. And it is God's love that is there for you right here and right now. And he is commissioning you. He is calling you. You know, we find ourselves doing a lot of things that are unnecessary sometimes. But there's nothing like yielding to the call of God. Being available to the hand of God. Staying humble under the hand of God. And listening to the voice of the Lord. Listening to our Father in heaven, whom sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins. He didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Comforter of the Holy Ghost. Boy, my life changed the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything changes when your life gets, when you get touched by God and you invite the power of the Holy Spirit. Things change. I know I probably talk about this a lot, but I'm telling you, until a man or a woman invites the presence of God into their lives, you will struggle day in and day out. A different kind of struggle. Now, I understand as Christians, you and I struggle against something else, right? We wrestle against flesh and blood. principalities, hosts of wickedness, all things that you don't see with the natural eye, but you better believe that it's out there. The reality is there's a spiritual realm, and that spiritual realm that is not on God's side would love to take you down and your family. But if you're right with God, there is nothing that could come against you, no matter how big of a standard, when the flood comes in from Satan and his cohorts, God will always raise up a standard for you. You belong to God. You don't belong to darkness anymore. He had his chance with you. It is time for God to have his chance with us now. It's time to make ourselves available for the things of God. God wants to position the church and position and call people out. And it takes being available. When you are available to God, you will find yourself available to your pastor. You will find yourself available to your leaders within the ministry. And you will find it in your serve that your serve is unto the Lord if you have a pure heart in doing so. Are you hearing me tonight? You and I have been called to a specific task and mission that is reaching the hurting people of the world, reaching the treasures out of darkness. Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. This is our promised scriptures that was given to Pastor Sonny in the early days, and this is still the foundational scripture that defines who we are. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. We have a particular assignment or function in the body of Christ, if you will. I think about the Great Commission. When he gives a mandate and he commissions his disciples that would be filled later with the Holy Ghost and become apostles and go out and preach and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus came and spoke to them in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, Jesus says, even to the end of the age. That's encouraging, amen? You see, in order for them to fulfill God's commission, they were given the promise of the Holy Spirit, that which would enable them for the service that God was calling them to do. It was the promise of the Holy Spirit we see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The Lord was positioning the disciples to be available for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost in order to go and do the will of the Father, to go and do the will of Jesus, to go and do the will of the Holy Ghost, the one and only true God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They are in one together, the Trinity. Jesus did not do anything away out of place of what his Father told him to do. When Jesus left to go be with the Father, he really didn't leave, but the Spirit came now to enable us. The same Holy Spirit, the same Jesus, same Father, they are one true God. Three different persons. Are you hearing me? I know that you probably know all this stuff. This isn't part of my notes. Just let me preach a little bit. Amen. We see the coming fulfillment of the Holy Spirit and birth of the Church of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. We're not going to read it all, but verses 38 to 47 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the Bible says, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, the Bible says, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Let me say that again. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone who had need. That's what's going on right here. And that's what's still going on today. Amen? At least that's what's supposed to be going on. They made themselves available for the Lord's commission. What about, we think about the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is where the prophet Isaiah was called to be a prophet. He was called to, you know, he was called to, right here it says, right here, when Isaiah was called to be a prophet, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, the Bible says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Here we read about the prophet Isaiah. His vision. We see his calling. And his response to the call. All because of a commitment level through his availability to the Lord. God commissioned Isaiah to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. Isaiah has come, probably he was in a place of his life, pivotal point, right? We've all hit those places. Come to the end of himself, obviously, and he's probably recognizing that there must be a turning point to his life. And so like many of us, Isaiah was tired of who he was and where he was going. He displays himself in a broken and contrite heart before God. Psalms 34 verse 18 tells us that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Isaiah was in a pivotal place within his life. He was the right person, the right place, at the right time. I still preach that because my pastor preached it years ago. The right person in the right place and the right time. You are the right people in the right place at the right time. You here tonight have made yourselves available. It is good enough for you to get through this day and do what's most important, and that is keep your relationship close with God by coming together with the saints of God. Right? To hear a word from God. That's what keeps us going, guys. That's what I needed in my life. when I was doing the things I was doing, I was so available to all the things of darkness. Satan had his turn on my life. Satan has had his turn with you. God, he knew it'd come a day where he knew that he was going to take over. He was going to let Satan have his time for a little bit. No glory to Satan whatsoever. No glory to darkness whatsoever, because God is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. This God we serve is powerful. I'm telling you, he could be everywhere at once. He knows everything about us. He knows what you're going through. Mind you, the devil could only be in one place at one time. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying tonight? We made ourselves available to the things of darkness at one time. But now God is commissioning men and women and young people to make themselves available for the outpouring of God's calling and the anointing upon your life, so that you can be cutting edge in this ministry and do what it is that God has called you to do. Isaiah was in the place of his life. He needed a change. He's probably like, man, there's more to this. And that, I don't know about you, but that does that kind of just sink into your life a little bit? Weren't you in a place of your life where you just needed, there's something more to it? There's something more. He positioned himself by his committed availability to seeking God through prayer, we see here in the Bible. You will always find the best place to be before you ever get out each and every day of your life is seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit over our lives. He positioned himself for God's love and for his power and for his wisdom. He was looking to God. He needed so much. There was something that needed to change, and this vision was crazy. I mean, we could get into all kinds of angels and demonology stuff, but we're not going to do that here tonight. Amen. All we know is that when you think about those seraphim, that's pretty crazy right there. I'm surprised they haven't made a movie about something like this. I know why they couldn't make a movie like this. They can't. There's no way they would ever be put a description to what is described here in this vision. How they would be able to bring it out, because that's amazing. God's angels, the different, his angelic beings, just everything he's created, designed, in order for him to send to you and I to help us come to know him. Amen? We could see some things that positioned Isaiah for his commission here tonight. Let's look at the progression of how Isaiah positioned himself for God's commission to be unfolded. Well, it's obvious through the word of God that we just read that he had made himself available to worship God in his holiness. He made himself available to worship God, and this is why we do what we do. This is why every morning it shouldn't just be a church that we position ourselves for the outpouring of God, but we should worship and praise him in his holiness. We should have an experience with God every day of our lives. We have been filled with the power of God, so isn't it so that he would want to just fill us some more every day? That's why we got to conduct our lives and stay holy and stay pure. We got to stay right with God, because he has so much more. Even here tonight, you're probably wondering, there's got to be so much more. There is more. God wants us to listen to his words, listen to what he's telling us from the Bible. His availability also to invite the conviction. We see that he makes himself available to go into the presence of God. His availability to invite the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? When you're in the presence of God, boy, there's going to be some conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but when a word comes across or whatever it may be, there's always, or I'm starting to take a little left turn, there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Keeps us in line, amen? Keeps the church in line. Keeps our pastors in line. Keeps the body of Christ in line. His availability to invite the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, people have no conviction because they don't take their time with the Lord. See, when you're in the presence of God, there's going to be conviction. Sometimes we're out there doing the things we're doing, but God wants it. He's knocking at the door. He's trying, hey, I'm right here for you. You're about to go off this edge right here. Come on, right? He's making a way. I like what John 16, chapter 16, verse 8 says. It says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit. I like his availability to confess his sin before God. When there's conviction, there's a confession. Right? Find yourselves confessing. Saying, I'm sorry, God. In order to be convicted of God, you must go through this process. Amen? His availability to receive God's forgiveness and cleansing because of the conviction to the confession of sin, to his availability to receive God's forgiveness and cleansing upon his life right here we see. And here tonight, in conclusion, we see, like Isaiah, we too can make ourselves, commit ourselves to be available to position ourselves for God's outpouring of his anointing in order to keep our hands to the plow and doing his will. Question here tonight, are we committed to make ourselves available? Are we committed to make ourselves available to what God has for our lives so that we can be part of building God's kingdom and seeing souls being reached and saved? Are we willing to pay the price by getting in the presence and crying out, listening and obeying God's voice? God is looking for committed people who are willing to make themselves available, to remain consistent in his will to the very end. Let's commit ourselves to remain faithful for God, brothers and sisters. And tonight, I don't know where you're at and what you're dealing with, but if I could get everyone to stand, you could see through the Bible different men and women and how they were commissioned and as they respond to the call of God. But you always notice that they have an experience with God. It isn't something that you have to wonder about. It's like you know that you know when you are being touched by the power of God in your life. For a long time, I when I came into the home, I remember how I struggled and I was looking. There was more to my life and I'm seeing we're involved in chapel service after chapel service and praying for an hour every day, every morning, every night. And it took time and it takes time for people. And I'm not just trying to just bring out the home here tonight. I'm talking about people in general. There's something about when you make yourself available, when you're tired of being tired, when you are sick and tired of being who you are. You may appear to people and around people like everything's good and dandy in your life, but deep inside all hell is breaking loose and you need a change. God is speaking to someone here tonight. You need a change. And God is saying, my son and my daughter, make yourself available a little bit more to me. Make yourself a little more available. And God wants to commission you. God wants to give you a deeper desire, a hunger to reach after him, to chase him, to pursue holiness like never before. And I don't know if there's someone here tonight that maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I know for me, in order for me to understand the will of God, I had to make a step and realize, first of all, I'm a sinner, I'm messed up, life is not going anywhere for me, but on my way to hell. Until the day you realize that there's a God that loves you, whether someone comes and professes that to you and tells you about it, or you open up the Bible and you read it yourself, however it comes for you, eventually the conviction of the Holy Ghost hits a man and a woman, and we got to make a decision. I was messed up on my way to hell at one time. Don't deserve this one bit. But God loved me so much, and he loves you so much, that he knew that there was going to come a time that he was going to exchange what's been so negative for a positive perspective and outlook for your own life. To make you understand and realize that it's not about you and it's not about me. that it's all about the one and only true God who created the heavens and the earth and the water and everything in them. About the one who finds pleasure in his servants when they're about his business. There's no pleasure from God when his children are doing things that are unnecessary. When you're not bringing glory to God's name, that's not why he saves you. He saves you to get busy for him. Serving God is not a big old task and a job, guys. It has been nothing. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it gets tough. But I'm here to tell you here tonight, when you stick to the plan, trust the process, as our brother Mark preaches, the same thing that he says that he learned in that home and what they stuck to is the same thing we stick to in the home. And it's the same thing we still preach. Trust God's process for your life, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through. You got to stop losing your mind in front of people already. It's time for you to lose your mind in the presence of God. That way, when you come out of your prayer closet, you're good for the Lord. People look at you and they see Jesus in your life. They see that you have problems, but yet you don't fall apart. You have learned the discipleship. You've learned to be good followers, to become great leaders. There comes a time where we go through things like that. But there comes a time when your leader says, hey, I think it's about time. You've been skirting that one for too long. It's time to step up already. It's time to allow God. Make yourself available. Show up to church meetings. Show up to discipleship. Show up. Stop complaining about your life when you could be somewhere and get in discipleship. Are you hearing what God is saying tonight? All I know is that there is only one true and right way to go, and we are on it, and we are on that path. Whether there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, the only way you know God's plan for your life is by letting go, divorcing the things of old, the things of darkness, separating yourself unto the Lord and being committed and available to the end. That's where it's at. That is where it's at. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that have been at this for a little while. Maybe some of you are even looking up here and saying, oh, I've heard these kind of messages. Good. God has positioned you to hear the message again because you're not getting something. I'm not going to get up here and preach feel-good messages. We're here to represent our Lord. And the Lord tells us as his people, as his children, to go ye therefore into all the world, preach the message of hope. Whether they like to hear it or not, just brush it off and go to the next one. To this day, I got family members that love what I'm involved in. And then there's the ones, because they're so deep in sin, they can't understand what I'm involved in. Does that make sense? But it doesn't stop me from loving them. It doesn't stop me from being who I am in Jesus. Taking everything that my pastor discipled me in and showing it off to the world. Amen? I'm telling you, when you get that, your life will be changed. When you begin to step out on a limb for others, your life will be changed. When you stop rolling around in the same old muck and mire of your life and take a chance, take a change, men of God, step up to the plate and be the priest of your home. Women of God, respect your man and what he's trying to do for the Lord. Release him. I preach this message tonight because I'm living this message, and I know I've gone through a process to get where I'm at. I'm no better than anybody else. But I'm here to let you know there's only one that I live my life to prove anything to, and that is my Savior. And if you're all for that here tonight, then these altars are open. These altars are open tonight.